The Sample Axis, administered by Boyega Nelson.
You're listening to the Sample Axis podcast.
Yeah, it's been a while that we've been here. We're back for Sample Axis, episode 81. It's been a long journey, but of course, we keep it moving. A lot has happened in the last couple of months and weeks. Hip hop turned 50. The Headies was held a couple of days ago. A good number of Nigerian albums are out. Afrobeat is getting divided. It's becoming a madhouse and all of that. But we're back for the podcast. We got Dioya here with Nelson Wenya, your happy voice on the podcast. Let's get to it. We have a quartet that we'll get to later, but let's catch up with what's going on in the music environment. What's up, Nelson?
Yeah, I'm doing good. Doing great. I'm excited to be doing this again. I know that I've been saying this a couple of times, but of course, like, people need to understand that, you know, things are happening. That's why there's been, you know, some off and on, but we're back again. Sample Axis, happy boys all the time. We're always happy. I'm sure you guys have noticed that already by now, that we're always excited to be on the pod, and it's 81, and, you know, we'll try again to be able to keep up as much as we can so we can get on. But then, music is doing so well right now. I think Nigeria has been holding it down for a while now, and we have been doing great stuff, and all the artists are coming through, you know, getting things done. Like you said, Boyega, the head is held lately, and I know I do not want to talk about it, but Boyega has said that we must talk about it for certain reasons, and yeah, we will talk about it. But then music, you know, out. I know since we have been off, Adekunle Gold, Asake came back again, you know, with another one, and it's been great music back to back. I think Adekunle Gold, Asake has been the standout for me. And then the only reason why I'm not putting Burna Boy is because I kind of feel like Burna Boy is like a staple, like is the standard. At this point, whatever Burna Boy does is magic. And he has come again with this amazing album that is out of this world. A lot of people have criticized the album and said that it comes from a lot of pain and anything, but I'd like to say that it's a work of art. And I loved it. And I know Guega, you know, at some point was having his reservations about Burna Boy. Guega, how do you feel right now about Burna Boy? Really, I need to ask that question. What do you think right now? Oh, yeah, I also forgot. I'm sorry. I don't know whether we spoke about it already. But Olamide had another album out, you know, on Unruly.
Unruly and Careless. He's very careless about the album. I'm not sure he really put.
It depends, you know. I kind of thought he was already going to wrap it up with the last one, which was UI Scotty, but Unruly came around. And to be sincere, I liked it. It wasn't the best of Olamide, but it was kind of like, you know, when you just want music from somebody and the person releases music, so you just feel like, oh, yeah, my guy is here, so I'm going to listen to the music. You understand? It's like the way some people do for Taylor Swift. You know, Taylor Swift will release, they will say Taylor Swift will release jams upon jams upon jams upon jams upon jams. Sometimes the albums will be a little bit below par, but nobody's going to talk about it because they just want her to put out music. I'm putting that for Olamide as well. You know, he has done it over and over again, dropping proper stuff. So at this point, it's like really, really chilled. And you understand that, you know, a lot of work is done on Asake and the boys in YBNL. So it's understandable. But back to my question, Boyega. Burna Boy, a lot of controversies, many things have been said. He comes out being pained again, and he releases an album, and this time I just kind of feel like I have to say he hit it again, because yo, at least 5 to 6 songs off that album is solid. And when I mean solid, I mean jams that would probably jam for a while.
My position about Burna has never really, really changed. I don't expect too much from Burna the philosopher. Everyone accepts that Burna the musician is a total artist. I think that's by now it's clear. He uses his voice very well for music. He understands the stage. He mans the stage very well. He understands the value of street language and the bop feeling of music, which is an essential part of pop music, and in this context, Afrobeat music as a pop genre. So Burna Boy, as an artist of that standard, has never been in question. His ability was never in question. My position overall, and I've said this like 3 or 4 years ago, when he, you know, with the whole interviews, with the media rounds, with the Coachella thing, and then the African giant narrative, and then the, you know, Zoo Monkey, the song Wonderful, the Pan-African Black movement, music history, I knew or I've expressed that this is not, Burna Boy is not the philosopher he thinks he is. And I wish he would, you know, I wish he would step away from that, you know, that talk. And then we see how, apart from not being a philosopher or not being an orator, he also doesn't know how to manage situations. Many times he's in the wrong, but he's going to dumb down and then start cursing people out and start throwing tantrums. That's why they now call his music Afro tantrums. On one occasion, it was the NSAS. You did not come out to speak for weeks when NSAS was at the height of it. When you were called out, I mean, you are going to throw tantrums and you say people love their government and all that, that you are fighting. This main character syndrome, I'm the only one who does this. He continues to bring that out. And that's...
Sorry, I need to cut you off for a while, but I remember that during the NSAS thing, I know there was a lot of tantrums being thrown around, but I also remember there was, you know, news that spread across the land at the time that his mom had surgery around that time. So I kind of feel like maybe it was a sensitive time for him and a lot of people misconstrued the whole situation. I don't know, that it was just weird timing. You know, and then we also think about the fact that 20th of October, that's 2020, that he did afterwards became some sort of a movement. I feel like, you know, even right now, when you go back and you want to talk about that time, Muzumban, by the way, and 20th of October, maybe Femme, because of the movement at the time, are some of the few songs that would, you know, be put out there as the songs that would seal the timestamp in the future. But of course, a lot of things that happened at the time was not great or awesome. Please go on, Gwega.
Yeah, I believe I needed that fact checking, or that I didn't know that part, but that's wonderful that you brought that up. Great. But to drive home my point, I mean, yes, I understand that her mom and himself may have been going through some moments at that time. It was just the optics generally. Wizkid led or was part of protests in London. There were protests in America, across the world. People were tweeting and on Instagram for weeks. Yes, the song came out by Burna and all of that. But, you know, we can agree to disagree. Now that I understand that there was a situation with that, I mean, ultimately, by the time you would come out, you threw tantrums. And maybe that is because of how he felt and all that. But that aside, there was another episode where, you know, you would expect him to... I don't want to sound salty or sound somehow. Burna doesn't give his stage to other artists to open up for him anywhere in the world. Maybe that is design. Maybe that's how I want my thing. We have to respect that. Of course, he puts artists on, but not as much as others. He has a way he has built his brand to be isolationist. Technically, I am here. I am the greatest. I told you I'm the genius. I told you I'm. I mean, yes, but you are not the only one. There was the statement he made. Nobody paved way for you. That cannot be true. Everybody here, the black race is here because ancestors who were on slave ships dared to dream and to make it out of that jungle. So people paved way for what you see today, from Kenny's music to Remedies. Of course, you can define paving way in different ways. You can say nobody played your music on radio, but people pay for your shows. And then you get to the shows, you arrive late for whatever reason, you even cuss them out after that. It's the same character, main character syndrome, I'm the guy. And then you write an entire album. Of course, we understand. It just shows that people don't change. So you make an entire album, you are almost calling out people directly on tracks. You know, I know Shay Vibes has said that one time. And then I told them I'm a genius. I can understand that. But then you build an album narrative. I don't know why this is about, brother, but let's wrap this up. You build an album narrative on the fact that everybody at home is against you. You get on the biggest platform in the world to say that everybody else, in, you know, 90% of the other guys don't write music well because they don't have experiences. Like you're the only one. No, when you're done here, there will be more people to carry on the baton. So I, at some point, I, you know, there's a truth to the fact that Afrobeat is empty. Some of us have said this before. That's what Terry G and, you know, a lot of guys came back to do. It's vibe music. Sometimes you try to break down some lyrics and it's not breakdownable because there's really nothing in there. So he's right to an extent. But when you make that about yourself and you invite J. Cole to be a part of a conversation that is skewed, you have put it in the history books that at some point in time, because people called you out, then everybody hates you. You're hiding from responsibility. I want us to wrap up this burnout part because, you know, there are many sides to it. There are many nuances to it. And I don't want to be, you know, I would like you to, you know, fact check and bounce back on it. But there are many parts to the conversation. But to come out and just, again, the music slaps. The music is beautiful. He's a great musician. But the attitude and the, you know, the ego, the whole thing is, there's just so many question marks here and there. Yeah. So that's about Burna Boy.
Well, we just experienced a Gwega, you know, rant session, which is quite cool because we don't get that all the time. We don't get that all the time. But yeah, I think what he has said, I agree with you to an extent. Obviously, you know, I have my reservations too about certain things, and I'm clearly a sure, you know, straightforward person when it comes to, like, you know, separating the art from the person. That's how I've always felt. That's why people like Nina Simone remain goats to me. That's why, you know, people like, even I can Tina Turner, I'm not a fan of whatever they have done, but I'm like, okay, the art is, can be put aside, you know, from the musician himself. I just like to put them apart and say, yes, I do not like you, what you do. I do not condone it at all, but I love your music. I don't know whether that makes sense. I know a lot of people might actually come at me for this. I'm sure people would come at me for this, but that's why I always stand my ground every single time. I feel like there has to be, because I'm a creative myself, and I understand that me as a person and my personality into whatever it is that I do in terms of writing and creation are two different people entirely. You understand? Like, I might be very, very, you know, enigmatic and out there and mysterious when I'm doing my stuff, but as a person, I'm probably one of the most simple persons. Get what I'm saying? So I understand the whole, you know, issue and the whole confusion. Before we talk about what we have today, boy, I know I said we don't want to talk about it, but we have to. The head is held recently, and just like it has been for the past few years, a couple of things happened that led to controversies. Apart from the fact that, you know, some people collected awards and said a couple of things which I just believe are banters most of the time. But also, the award couldn't finish appropriately because numerous awards were not awarded. What exactly happened? Because I didn't follow it as I should have, but I'm sure you did.
I didn't follow as much as well. In fact, I didn't follow too much. I saw Twitter posts, and I saw the many errors that the Twitter handler was doing. Even the mode of tweeting is given 2005, before Twitter was made. I mean, so
Gwega, why? You said 2005.
These are people. You know, I have a former colleague who works there, and so it's not necessarily disrespect. I just don't know how to talk, right? Shout out to Egbunayo Animasha, and shout out to everybody doing the work. But you don't want to do mediocre work. You want to do something that you'll be proud of. And this conversation was going to take me to a certain angle, but I won't go there. There are people who are hipper than others. There are people who are trendier than others. It's like me. I'm a local boy from Ifaki. For me to now go to Lekki and want to claim the life that, you know, I don't have tattoos on my body. I don't have piercings. For me to now go to a club and try to sniff shisha that I've not sniffed before, or try to live certain lifestyles that I've not lived before. I don't know where this is going, but just follow me.
Yeah, I'm following you.
It's going to be obvious that something is missing. If you have never been there, you may not know how it's done. Why do I say that? It's not exactly the same analogy to the Hip TV thing, but Hip TV seemed not to have that engine room or that team of experts who would put up an amazing production. We all watched some of these big awards. and we're not necessarily expecting, you know, that, you know, big level of grandiose performances, massive performances for, or massive sets from Hip TV. We just want something real, real enough to be appreciated as our, you know, this is where we are, this is our level. You need millions of dollars, I'll be guessing, to set up the nicest stages, you know, moving stages and all that, flying, you know, all these great aesthetics. You may not be able to afford that, but some originality has to be present. Some up-to-date groundwork, like promotions before the show. Many people didn't even know Headies was going to hold yesterday.
Yeah. I didn't know for the longest time. In fact, I got on a few hours before the event started.
And there is a production outfit. So there is a build-up to everything. I understand that this the brand has been, or the award has been concessioned or sold to a particular brand in America to host the show for 5 years, you know, in America. So maybe that's part of the plan, to make money and elevate the genre or sell it to the world and all that. There is also the cultural aspect of moving it to America, which many have said this is really not making sense, because you should stay in your roots and attract the globe to come. If Nigerian music is doing well globe, then it should be us exporting culture. It should be us saying that Lagos is the center of where all this amazing music is coming from, so that Peruvians, Brazilians, people from Kazakhstan can say, oh, there is a festival in Nigeria, Afro Nation, Hip TV Awards, like the Grammys in America. We're going to the Headies in Nigeria, because that's where all the music, the top 50 songs that have been rocking Namibia, rocking, you know, the Caribbeans, rocking United Arab Emirates, that's where the songs come from. It's like Osun Oshogbo, come down here to experience the feeling. That's what we should do. So if anybody's investing, I mean, Odumodu, Jerick, Black Bones, everybody has to fly to Atlanta to attend the event. What about the music writers in Nigeria? What about the boys in Oshogbo who want to aspire to Wizkid, who want to pay 25K to see the award, or who just want to, you know, be a part of the fest? If you take that to Atlanta, Atlanta natives don't even know. Like, I don't know. Yes, there may be Nigerians everywhere in America, but how do you connect to them? Do you have a mini Nigeria in America that would represent us for those 5 years? Have we connected well to the diaspora audience such that we will not be missing the Nigerian effect when we do that? So there are so many aspects to it. That aside, there is a part about artists not attending. So artists, you know, whatever it is, everybody's on tour. Whoever is not on tour doesn't have time. Burna Boy wasn't there, Davido wasn't there, Tiwa wasn't. And then you ask yourself, what's going on? Rema was probably there because, you know, maybe some calls have been made. Oh, you are going to have a plaque today. You can almost tell that there was like a coordination to have some people who would be presented with awards to be there. Spyro was there, Odumodu won. Paper Corleone, these guys moved from Nigeria down to America to be able to witness it. I like the fact that, you know, there's some like exposition, but at the same time, this is the roots, this is where the culture lives, and we should respect the base. We are witnessing 12 months of Nigerian artists not staying at home. It's happening. It's a good and bad problem, because the good part is you can make money abroad. The bad part is we are disconnecting from there are show promoters in Lagos who are saying that there are no artists, A-list artists to book. I said that's a good problem, because it will make room for people like Sheyi Vibes and Odumodu to get the shows that Wizkid and Burna would have gotten. But then news flash is that Sheyi Vibes did his first show in London and want to do a tour in the UK. Odumodu is having a good time with the Declan High song. And Declan is doing well in Arsenal. He wants to do a UK tour because Nigerians cannot pay 50k per show. But in the UK, £30, £100 is a big deal. That's why Asake would do shows in the UK and the US. and not in the way you where you finish from. So there are cultural problems, there are economic problems, there are many angles to it, but ultimately Hip TV, the headies need to do better. The show production, the stage could have been nicer, the red carpets, the promotions ahead, and the elephants in the room. Ira Star won artist, female artist of the year. Apparently was presented backstage. So it goes to coordination and some things that are lacking. So many moving parts, but I think they need to do a lot better to tidy these things up. They are the most prestigious Nigerian award, and we want to see them, you know, succeed further and further.
While I want to see them succeed, I kind of feel like there's a need for proper competition at this point. I know a couple of things have to be checked, you know, plus and minuses that has to happen for proper progression. But I kind of believe that at some point there would have to be somebody or a group that would have to come in and do something different. And yes, I'm one of those people that believes that stays right, you know, in Nigeria, stay where it is. Get the guys that are involved, let them come back home. It's not the hardest thing in the world. Nobody to pursue you. That's the way you say it, you know, like nobody's running after you or telling you that you shouldn't be here. So bring it back home. But then I think Boyega has done a very good talk on all of that. So we're just going to quickly move on to the quartet. You know, Sample Access is the name of the podcast, and we like to talk about all things happening at the time, but of course, at this moment, but we would, you know, get on with what we have today. We have a quartet, very interesting quartet. We would be talking about a superstar, one of the biggest superstars in Nigeria, in Wizkid. Halacha Boy was actually a sample. I'm sure a lot of people know that already, but they've never really heard anyone talk about the sample, how it was sampled, where it was sampled from. Sometimes you've heard people say, yes, I know it's a sample, but I don't know it's some guy sampled. And also we're going to talk about somebody else that I feel like is almost there. When I mean is almost there, I think if he keeps up his energy that he has right now and continues to propel, I feel like in the next 2-3 years we would be seeing him in the biggest of stages, not just because he's a good musician, but because he also has a great personality. I'm talking about Black Bones. Cinderella Girl, was done alongside, featured Ludacris. Now, Ludacris, of course, we know him. Big man, one of the best, you know, in the biz, and one of the OGs that we love so much. Area Codes comes to mind. Move B Word comes to mind. And they sampled another great in Bill Withers for that particular tune. So, Gwega, I don't know whether you'd like to start or you want me to start. So tell me which one is it. Should we go with Wizkid or we should start with Black Bones and Cinderella Girl?
Let's start with Wizkid. That's the king of Afrobeats. Wizkid is the I was thinking about it today, and I thought that this is the king of the genre. This is the prophet. This is the leader. He is the chosen one. From Banky W coming back from America to establish Empire Mates Entertainment, EME Records, having 2 years of great R&B and Nigerian pop music of the time, 2008, 08 Niger for Life, when Etisalat Salat came, you know, Banky W had a run. Ebute Metta sampling or covering Rihanna's Umbrella. He then moved on to say, yo, let's do more. At that time, I'm sure more hits were outside. Storm Records were still doing stuff around that time. There was Kenny's Music. Then he started EME. And then we know of Music Men, the amazing producers. The next thing we saw was this guy in 2010. That blew everybody away. I became a student, a pretty good student in Futa. 2010, Olaate Boy was released January 2nd, 2010, the second day of the year. So I'm sure, rewind to MI's album, first album, MI1, was it MI1? MI that had Fast Money, Fast Car.
Mr. Incredible. Fast Money, Fast Car.
MI and Banky had been moving things separately. I think with Chocolate City on this side, EME on this side, but they were friends in the industry. Nighthouse would also come to mind. Sauskid, DJ Clem, there is this brother.
I'm sorry, I need to quote you. Sure, that album was actually called Talk About It.
Talk About It, yes. MI's first album, Talk About It. That's where Safe is. That's where all the rest of the jams were. So MI gave this surreal, hungry guy ready to blow up the world. And then from Fast Money, Fast Cars, around that time, familiarity with Sam Clef, around that time, Molowono knew with Sam Clef. It was a familiarity with Jeru, and Wizkid was on fire. It was really dropping a lot. So how do I say it? He was the young boy amongst the Egmonds of those days, and he studied all of them, added his own flavor, and then he would start a long journey. I believe in destiny, I believe in drive, and I believe in everything coming together. So I think Wizkid, very focused, is very, very focused, is very smart, and he's a hard worker too. That run from 2008 to 2012, I'm sure was unprecedented, many features, and the sound was exciting, and he was young. He was handsome as hell, still handsome. Young boy getting it, blowing up the world. And, you know, Banky got him that deal. 2010, I was talking about getting into school. And I think on day two in school, in Futa, everybody, you walk around, you see people listening to Ola Acho Boy. The video was exciting. So Ola Acho Boy was the song that really blew him out there. And, of course, the rest is history as he went on to do exploits. Meanwhile, a lot of us back then didn't know where Ola Acho Boy. We didn't know he was sampled and all that. And, you know, some research much later would show us that a guy by the name Seven, a South Korean pop artist, name Seven, spelled S-E-7-E-N, was the guy who originally made the song sampled by Wizkid on Ola Acho Boy. Ola Acho Boy, of course, was from the Superstar album that came later in 2011. That's the debut album by Wizkid. The album is like amazing. Wiz Party. You have songs like Scatter the Flow, Giddy Girl, Oluwa Looney. Great album. Amazing artists. Refreshing, you know, music that we possibly haven't seen before that time from a young person. So it was really refreshing. He was able to connect to the abroad in a way. Remember around that time, there was a group called Mindless Behavior. I can see a certain connection to the, you know, high school young boy making music type of thing. Maybe it's just me, but Mindless Behavior was really out there at that
time. Yeah. Mindless Behavior was popping around at that era too, and had the same
Soulja Boy.
Soulja Boy was a bit older. I mean, Soulja Boy would not want to be put in that. Maybe 2005, 2006. But I'm saying
I'm talking about the aesthetics and the influence at the time.
Yeah. You know, like, I'm sorry I have to, like, you know, just come in for a second, but you know, all the time when we are talking about music, we always have, there's always a reference point. Do you understand? Only few people in music from time bust into the scene being their own person. Even the ones that bust into the scene being their own person, they had to morph to get to that point. So I'm going to give you a quick example right now, just to put it out there, you know, some Nelson and Nuggets, if you can call that, you know. So, like, for example, in the 60s, a lot of people do not know that when reggae started, it wasn't a dreadlock genre, if you understand what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
People like Desmond Dekker, the early guys, they all had, you know, they were all suited up, you know, suited up, wearing nice clothes, the nicest of clothes, you know, or well-shaved. In fact, no beards. Did you get? Looking all proper and well, proper and well-to-do. They looked like they were money. Do you get what I'm saying? So they had that vibe. But then the Wailers came around and said, no, we don't want to do it this way. Then other guys came around too. Many people said to come and they said, we're going to move this thing from being too structured to being completely free. And also, you look at, you know, Motown Records during the 1960s into the 1970s, Barry Gordon and Smokey Robinson, everybody had suits on. They made the Supremes. The Supremes were 17-year-old girls, they look like they were 35. You get what I'm saying? Because of their dresses and the way they looked. And guess what? Every other person that came after them till the late 70s looked like those ladies. You know, they took their form. Someone like Marvin Gaye, too, he started that way. Marvin Gaye switched it up after I got into the late 70s after the death of Tammy Terrell, switched it up and became his own person. What I'm trying to drag out of all of this is over time, there's always been like a template to follow. So everybody would look for a template, but at some point, somebody would, you know, break out of that vibe and that energy. So I concur with you that at some point, there was the mindless behavior and there was the, Soulja Boy. And I'm sure before big man Bankole Wellington put his money in on Wizkid, he must have had like an idea of what he wanted it to look like. But I think after like maybe a year or two before 2012, Wizkid broke into his own person and became, you know, phenomenal. So yeah, I agree with you completely.
Yeah, amazing stuff. So let me wrap up on Wizkid. And the song by the Korean singer is Girls. It's titled Girls, and you can see the progression. You see me drive by, holla at your boy. It's almost the same story Seven was telling on the song Girls. It's the same thing, trying to attract ladies, trying to be the ladies' man. You know, if you see me around your hood, holla at your boy. When you see me come around, the storytelling almost mirrors it. It goes back to 2002 Rasky sampling DMX, or maybe not sampling now. Maybe we can say, you know, copying respectfully. So you want to model your song along the lines. Maybe Banky even gave him ideas, because Banky just covered Umbrella, and that was his breakout song. So Holla at Your Boy was that song that really broke Wiz out, and it was a direct quote unquote from what Seven did with Girls. Yes, Wiz continued that run, but of course, it's not really about copying, it's about doing it over and over again. Wizkid is notorious, and is known for being able to drop freestyles. There are many videos online of him just in a car, just moving, just doing a freestyle, and you know, it just keeps going. And if you listen to a lot of his songs, you can tell the spontaneity in the songs. It's like Rema today, who goes on stage and does a freestyle. Rema came off a freestyle. So look at Samba, Saz and Wizkid. You would know that is freestyle, and it became a huge song. And it gets better if you count to write. And you just know that Wizkid is good at that level of, you know, vibing, freestyling. And a song like Munawo, Munawo, no ni, Baba God, no ni. Yes, he's saying something, but that's not really great songwriting if you want to check it. Just freestyle with good vibes. And good vibes is the soul of Afrobeats. Back to what Bernard was saying, but he didn't say it with good context and with respect. So Wiz would go on to win awards, particularly in 2011 as the next rated off of that song and off of the album Superstar. And of course, next rated has shown workings in the years that came up until around 2014-15, when he had to like take a break before linking up with Drake and he took over the world, and the rest is history today. So enough much about Seven. Let me just talk about him a little bit. He goes by the name Choi Dong-wook. He's Korean, and he's better known as Seven. He's a South Korean singer who has now advanced into other countries like Japan, China, United States. Big in America for making Korean pop music, R&B, hip-hop. Active since 2003. And he's just done so much from 2003 to very recently. Lots of jams, mostly pop music. And I get surprised when I see Asians who make amazing pop music. You just wonder, you know, the culture is, the American culture gets to them and they can replicate. Yeah, a lot of times they retain their culture and, you know, they sing in their language, but still you can't go wrong trying to make a song in English. There's always a market for it. Quick one, Seven has worked with a lot of people in the American music space. He held a preview party in New York in 2008 when he was trying to make his US debut. Played some songs which featured collaborations with Dark Child, the popular Dark Child, and hip-hop group 36 Mafia. So you can see the connection with R&B and hip-hop. And I can guess that, you know, Seven, the song Girls by Seven, would have bounced into Nigeria or bounced to someone in Nigeria by way of consuming music from America around 2007-8, before Wiz would go on to make Holla at Your Boy around 2010. So a lot of moving parts. Holla at Your Boy video, very interesting video that had or shot in a class that depicts this schoolboy type of thing, and you know, the rest is history. Shot by Patrick Ellis, and Wiz will go on to do a lot.
Yeah, I think that video had Sophia Alakija. Beautiful. Oh, is that? Beautiful Sophia Alakija. You know, still she's still in the movie industry right now, doing stuff. You know, some of the stuff she has done quite interesting, interesting to say the least. But of course, you know, she's still right here and still beautiful as ever. The growth from that video, you look at people like Scales, you know, look at Uche, forgotten her full name now. The lady that acted as the teacher, she's a big director now. Visuals by Uche, you know, big director right now. I think she's in the UK at the moment. So everybody's doing good. I kind of feel like that video should probably be like, you know, if you use that in your documentary, there's going to be a lot of before and now. Because I don't know, I remember that Asika as well was in that video.
Interesting. I mean, there are many case studies. If you want to pick Pakurumo, there are many stories in Pakurumo as well.
Yeah, true. Yeah, so yeah, maybe to an extent, Whiskey has actually laid down a couple of things and put things in place, so you can actually see, yeah, he's repped the country very well. But then, let's move away quickly because, of course, we have no time. We have to move on to the next quarter. Then, thank you again for giving us a rundown on that particular one. Now, we're going to talk about the next pair is Cinderella Girl, that was done by Black Bones featuring Ludacris. Ludacris that is known as one of big men in the movie and in the music industry in the United States of America. His full name, Christopher Brian Bridges. But let's talk about Black Bones. Black Bones has been amazing, you know, for the time being. I was talking about him that if he continues on this way, this particular space that he is right now, I see him propelling and becoming one of the best guys, you know, Nigerian rapper, Nigerian creative. I don't think rapper encapsulates him right now. He's more than a rapper. He's one of the people that has held the torch down for Chocolate City over the years. He has been with them and he has continued with them, and he has been holding that, you know, he has been the bearer of good things for Chocolate City. His real name, Emeka Akumefule. I'm a big man, is from Imo State, and you know, like I said, he started music in the 2012, but I think he came into limelight maybe 2015 or there. But he has released a couple of stuff out there. I think Sex Over Love has to be that album that put him there. But he had a couple of songs like Mami Wata with Oxlade that is known for Away and Closer, that is so big all around the world. Boyega, I cannot tell you how big Closer is. I mean, we know already, but you need to see it in spaces where they don't even speak English. It's a madness. I'm like, what is going on? But music, you know, music is universal. Nobody cares really about what you are saying, is how the music flows. And that's one of the reasons why I feel like a lot of people should respect Afrobeat. Even though African music, I feel like most of the time African music is very, very deep, but one of the things that works well for African music is the rhythm and the vibe, the energy that you feel from it, whatever you're feeling from it, that's exactly what, you know, drives the entire thing. So you want to feel that vibe, that energy, that vibe that it comes, you know, that's why you want to listen to Amapiano and listen to it all day, and you're never tired. Back to Black Bones, though. Black Bones also released a couple of songs, you know, over the years. I think 2020 was a good year for him. Had ABBA, had BBC, had the BBC remix with Tiwa Savage. Tiwa Savage, an amazing woman. I love her so much. Back in Uni also was released in 2022. That was a good one too. But then Young Preacher, that one got an award recently. Guega, let me get that correct. Was it the best rap album?
Young Preacher, Black Bones, yes, best rap album.
You know what? I think you can get it. You know, I think we had this conversation behind the scenes where we're talking about the fact that it was actually up there as a proper body of work. So I wouldn't be, you know, shocked. I wasn't shocked that he got it. You know, I think it's worthy. I'm sure other albums were worthy as well, but his was also very worthy. Well, back to him. He's known for his unorthodox way of doing music, unorthodox way of you know, putting out the stuff, and he's been really good at it. And this time with the Young Preacher, there were a couple of samples, but this time he released a single afterwards, and that's Cinderella Girl, which was done alongside Christopher Bridges. Christopher Bridges being Ludacris. If you don't know Ludacris right now, remember, I got codes in different area codes. So you get codes in area codes, Ludacris, and also Move the Get Off the Way. Word of Mouth in 2001 was probably one of the most sold rap album. I'm ready to stand corrected on that, but I know you probably think of 2001, 2002, and Ludacris held it down. And then he switched up to the movie industry, and he's still doing very, very well for himself. Now, out of all of this, sampling has been a thing that Black Bones has been doing for a while. I'm sure Boyega would agree with me on that one. Boyega, you know, Black Bones has been tapping around all the samples they can. You can tell that he listens to a lot of music, because one of the people that we always talk about when we talk about like artists in Nigeria that go beyond the usual frame and get music and do stuff with music, you think about people like Olamide, but Black Bones is giving Olamide his run for his money, because you can tell in every album that this guy, you can tell how vast he is, you know, with his approach to music, what he's doing at the moment, the kind of sound he's working on. He's all good and great. Good guy. And I think, you know, I'm one of those people that actually say, I love this kind of music. I love the samples he works with. They're always, you know, from nowhere, basically. You just find them like, wow, this is really cool. And this time, he, alongside Christopher Bridges, that is Ludacris, picked up a song, a classic from Bewitherz. Guega, sincerely, I would really like to know how these guys cleared this album, this song. Because is that Bewitherz songs are like, they are treated like, I'm looking for a word that, you know, explains or expresses like gold. You get what I'm saying? Like untouchables. Like songs like Lean On Me, Use Me, Ain't No Sunshine. I'm not saying they are not used, but I know that there's a lot of process you have to go through to even get it to be used. Do you get what I'm saying?
Yeah, but
and then Black Bones using it in his humorous, you know, an exciting way. I'm sure the influence of Ludacris would have done something, but you get what I'm talking about.
I feel you 100%. I just feel like we're in an age where anything can work as long as you
sign the right contract.
Yeah, apart from that, everybody has a trail. I was listening to a podcast recently. It's been about 1 month, and they were highlighting a South African musician that somehow became very popular in Austria, and they don't even know him that well in South Africa.
And that's weird.
Austrians and other Europeans were so in love with the music, they had to make the trip or send some messages down to South Africa that there's a particular South African song that somehow made it to our ends. I've been enjoying it. So music travels in this day and age. Of course, if you are ready to let something go, just communicate with the team. They're especially with AI. If you don't communicate, AI will find it in a few hours and your song will be dropped. So there is always a way to connect to people who have digital blueprints. It's just for one to find them before getting into you know, sampling a song. But I'm even more curious about what are the odds of thinking about that kind of sample in 2022 or 2023. I mean, that is an old song. Maybe producers do the job for you to think of that, or maybe one of them heard it and then tried to write on it. But I mean, we can't stop you from eating what you want.
Yeah, I actually think that, you know, sometimes some songs that reoccur in your head, and I need to throw this fun fact out, even though Bill Withers is regarded as probably one of the biggest and best musicians of all time, and no, I'm not saying this as just, you know, a sentence, I'm saying it as pure fact. He stopped making music in 1985. Like, if you check his discography, it ends in 1985. Although he passed in 2020, he had a long hiatus that never ended, you know, and because he died at the age of 81 on March 30th now in 2020. He was active for 18 years, and that 18 years was bliss, amazing stuff. He was releasing albums after albums, songs after song. Ain't No Sunshine, 1971. Grandma's Hands, 1971. Use Me, 1972. Lean on Me, Goiga was released in 1972. That's to tell you the power of music. I'm sure you know that song. Probably you know the word for word. You probably know.
I'm not sure word for word, but I know the song.
But you know the song. It was released in 1972. Just the Two of Us, the classic, was released in 1981. And the song we're talking about on this one, Lovely Day, was released in 1977. So somebody heard the song and said, you know, this is a great one. I want to use it at some point. And it was reused. And you think about the fact also that, you know, Bill Withers worked alongside a guitarist known by Grover Washington Jr. They did a lot of stuff together during their time. And this man has a legacy that knows no bounds. He's probably one of the, you know, there are a couple of names you hear and you're like, yeah, these are one of the greats. I sincerely think Bill Withers would be in that list as well. And, you know, he was inducted into the Hall of Fame in 2015, 2005, Songwriters Hall of Fame 2005, and Rock and Roll of Fame 2015. And two of his songs was inducted, of course, that's Lovely Day, and Just the Two of Us was in. He was put into the Grammy Hall of Fame and I can't remember the years now, but I'll probably drop that for now. Cinderella Girl, quite comical, which is something that we're used to when we listen to, you know, actually both artists. Now, Wega, I would say this is probably the first time it's clicking in my head, but Black Bones and Ludacris are both humorous people.
Yeah.
They're both comical people. Like, of course, I'm sure Ludacris is more serious than Black Bones, because Black Bones is, you know, it's crazy, but Ludacris is known for being the funny guy as well. You know, not funny in terms of doing stand-up comedy, but or being like Black Bones, but with his videos, his rap, his lines, do you get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
He's that guy that will crack you up. I mean, if you do a freestyle with Ludacris, you might not because he's killing you with punchlines, but he's making you laugh. And yeah, you just lose guard. You get what I'm saying? He's not serious like Lil Wayne or Eminem or Jay-Z. He's that fun guy. That's why he actually held it down in the early 2000s.
Yeah, standard. And you can, I mean, I was going to talk about why it seemed that Ludacris would do features and we don't necessarily receive it well, or we received it passively. It wasn't like that before. When you feature an international artist, people always look forward to it. But nowadays, we are so Afrobeats heavy that Ludacris would drop a verse for Joe Boy or for Black Bones, and you know, it would be passive, and not a lot of people would expect.
I think times have changed, but it's fine. It's okay. You know, you still respect them. I think Cinderella Girl was a good one. It happens. I get so it happens.
Yeah, that's almost enough time to wrap up. I remember that we have also reviewed Black Bones' album Sex Over Love on this podcast on YouTube now. The long and short is that Black Bones has come a long way. He has worked hard, and in the last few years, we have seen the progress on a bigger level, especially from the Bad Boy Black album, and then the Sex Over Love, and then we have Young Preacher now, you know. And then Emeka Must Shine is coming. And you just see the work ethic, and like you said, if he keeps going, the uniqueness will continue to sell him, because sometimes it's not just about the song being good. The song may not be too good, but the promotions would make up for whatever is lost.
All right. I think that's where we wrap it up. The song was released recently, talking about 2023 actually, Cinderella Girl, and took off the song from 1977. The production credits, I would give that to you in a moment. Black Bones production credit, producers for Be With Us and Clarence McDonald.
That's about it. Episode 81. We really had to do this. And
okay, I found the producer. It's somebody that goes by the name Ramoni.
Ramoni. Oh, that's interesting. That's interesting. Speaking of production, we were talking about Burna's album, and I learned that each song was produced by a different producer. One song, one producer. Yeah, that's interesting. Interesting stuff. Yeah, that's about it. Sample Access back. We'll see you next time.
All right, we out.
The Sample Access, administered by Boyega Nelson.
Yeah, let me try that. You're listening to the Sample Access Podcast.